Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Anna, who is here to speak with us about her practice Beyond the Gate. Welcome, Anna.
Hi, Jen.
Hey. So I was just thinking, well, that's funny because actually most people practice Beyond the Gate in terms of percentage-wise. So what are we talking about? But it's this really fun twist where, as many folks know, you often live as a monk at the monastery, and yet you're currently, how did you put it? You're having a visiting out in the world.
Right. Yeah, instead of being a visiting monk at the monastery, visiting person with a job. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's the reverse of what folks often do. And mm-hmm. So it's just been really fun to hear you speak about bringing the attitude of mind of monastic practice to a life that doesn't look monastic in the traditional way that we think of that. And so we thought it would be fun to have you on the show and talk about that, your experience of participating in that way with practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, so the gift of monastic training, as you know, is that everything is set up to support us to be here, mm-hmm. to choose life to be here. Mm-hmm. And so there are all sorts of structures that help us to do that. The schedule, we make commitments about, for example, what we're going to read and when. There are all sorts of opportunities to ask for guidance, and all supporting us to be here and not in the conversation in conditioned mind. Mm-hmm. And so out in the world, it's an experience where really everything is set up to support distraction. I don't think that would be an overstatement. And so,
to support, because you said distraction, is that what you said?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah, to support distraction. Yes, 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 exactly.
And because I've had the great gift and life-changing privilege of getting to experience being in those structures at the monastery, it's like I have an experience that I'm going for, right? I've had that experience of the structures supporting me to be here to get me to be ready to choose being here for myself, because that's what I want.
Mm, wow.
And so out in the world, what that looks like is creating structures like a schedule and all sorts of commitments that helped me be here. So I'll get concrete and give you an example. So I love reading. I really love reading, just the curiosity, the fascination. And of course, that's something that then can get pulled into a process of suffering. In the world of duality, it can be binging or deprivation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I put in place a structure for myself where I'm going to read, these are the things that I'm going to read this month. This is the time of day I'm going to do it, and this is how long I'm going to do it for, right? Yeah. And the experience of that is just, I'm just loving it, because it's like getting to do something that I love in relationship with life. Mm-hmm. So ego can't control the human over it, and life gets to flourish in that structure.
And you get the experience of choosing it.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah.
So can I ask you a specific about that, Anna? Or
sure.
So
no, go ahead.
So you put this structure in place. I mean, there's so many powerful things about it, but just that place where you have the training. So you have so much experience now of the structures that do support you and the experience that you want it. So you put it in place for yourself because you know it's what supports you, and you know it's what you're going to get talked out of, what conditioning is going to try to get in there and interfere with. So in an example like that, so either you run up against, I'm going to read at, between 4 and 5 on Saturday afternoon. At 4 o'clock, I don't feel like reading. Or at 5 o'clock, I feel like continuing to read. Then what happens?
Yeah, exactly. So, well, the way I work with it is that so it's an everyday commitment. So I do this every evening. So there's part of the evening commitment is that there's no being on the computer after a certain time. And then there are all sorts of commitments then that happened in the evening, and the reading is one of them. So I set a timer, and it's so perfect that you asked that, because just at the end of last week, I encountered the, oh, just a bit more. Just a bit more. I mean, I'm really loving this. I mean, it's good stuff, right? It's supportive stuff. And it's so wonderful because that structure's in place, then I get that clear information that there's something going on, right? Mm-hmm. There's some going off course when I realize I've, shut off the alarm and read for 10 more minutes. Mm-hmm. And what's so perfect about it is that, so I'd been having this experience of having all these structures and commitments in place and just beginning to experience that trustworthiness. Like, I can trust myself to keep these commitments.
Yep.
And I can trust myself to keep these commitments, and the life force is building, and it's so fun and and so supportive like that. And then... Excuse me. Just as I'm starting to...
It doesn't want you to share this information. danger.
Just as I'm starting to really take in that trustworthiness and record about it, and even be so bold as to tell another person about that success, right?
Yeah.
Then it revs up, and I'm there waking up 10 minutes after the alarm's gone off, and I'm still reading.
Mm-hmm.
And what I... loved about that was that it was like, it's that choice, right? Mm-hmm. There's the voices looming to say, oh, look, you've blown it. Oh, you were just starting to feel trustworthy, and now look, you know, like that will always have you. And instead to check in with a mentor and realize this is information. This is information that there's something going on, there's a going off course, and what I'm choosing is to up the support, right, to get here. And then really experience that as like a deepening trustworthiness. So it's not like like a controlled, perfectly meeting all the commitments and somehow being bamboozled into that being a good thing. But instead, I came up on the radio show the other morning, right? We're not preventing unconscious. That's unconsciousness. That's colluding with unconsciousness to try and prevent unconsciousness, right? That's not possible. And instead to have that deepening, expanding trustworthiness where you get the information that, you know, you weren't there. You weren't there when that alarm went off. And to make the choice for building that momentum for presence.
And that's just that's so great, because it's, you know, conditioning would want us to lose the forest through the trees, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to use a process of control and perfection as I approach these structures that are going to help me practice. Wait a minute. But it's not as if we don't know that place, and that place is so important, that is going to happen, you know, because how we do anything is how we do everything. And so, you know, even with the absolute best of intentions, it's going to get co-opted, and I'm going to get whatever the process that causes me to suffer is, that's going to happen with this, and that's great, because that's what I want to see. And I project that's the spirit you're bringing to it, is I go unconscious, I realize I'm reading 10 minutes after the buzzer goes off. The whole point is to see that. That's the whole point.
Exactly.
So to try to be so perfect and so controlled in keeping all of my commitments and completely miss all the information I get to see, that would be completely beside the point.
Yeah, it really is that Sherlock Holmes exciting place of, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, and just the support of having the structures there, because otherwise, like, there'd be nothing to show me in such a clear way that there was something going on, right?
Exactly.
We often talk about it as running up against them or bumping up against them, but
Yeah, well, what I just saw with that I love the Sherlock Holmes thing, because what that structure gives us a sense of is like, wait, stop. I am in the middle of the crime scene right now. Don't move a muscle. It's like, I don't want to mess up any fingerprints. And if we didn't have that structure to bump up against, we wouldn't realize we're right in the middle of it where all of the information is. And then, I mean, it really can become a game and fun.
Right. Oh, I had one's just dropping in from today. Shall I give you another example? So
yeah,
I just put in, so like there's the loving being so supported, and then from that, wanting to really double down and up the support. So seeing all these places where you can add some support in. And one of them is like there's this writing project that I'd love to start working on, right? Mm-hmm. And I recognized that there was that, kind of waiting for the right time or not enough time, stuff like that going on. And so I put in a 15-minute a day commitment to sit down and just see if there's anything that life wants to write about, right? And to put that in at lunchtime. Uh-huh. And today, as I was sitting down to do it, I actually heard a, like, impossible. Like, are you in the middle of your day, you're just going to sit down and, right? So I sat down and did it, put the timer on, 15 minutes, uh-huh. and just, it was like sitting down to do that showed me that that limitation had been there. And I hadn't seen it so clearly as a limitation. It was like just sailing right past that into energy and joy and possibility. Maybe tomorrow there'll be the, just to keep that in the schedule and, see it all, right? See it all.
See it all.
Yeah.
I mean, because what I love about it is I can just hear conditioning going, 15 minutes, give me a break. What are you going to do in 15 minutes? Right? And it's that place of catching that bamboozle of, well, I mean, you got to wait till you have a week off or whatever it is. Which, you know, it's going to set something up that's never, ever going to happen. And so catching that and then just putting the structure in place and then just keeping it. And again, as you said earlier with the other example, just really keeping it from the spirit of, because I'll get to see everything that happens around it.
Yeah.
So fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we are up against the clock, Anna, but anything else you wanted to add in before we end?
I know, I was just thinking we don't want to run over our structure.
Yeah, exactly.
5 minutes past the hour. Just great gratitude and just having so much fun,
truly, it's that when we practice, everything enlightens, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Thank you, Jen.
Thanks for being with us this afternoon.
All right. Thank you. Bye bye.
All right. Bye bye. Take care. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Anna, and thank you, Jen.
There I am.
Welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry. How are you?
I'm good, Michael. How about you?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
All right. I just have to comment before we go ahead that I love that last part. I love that whole thing, but I love the last piece.
Yes.
When we're up against the clock, we don't want to run over this structure. It was such a perfect example of how conditioning gets us.
Yes.
Right? Because I'm looking at a process, and I'm caught on to the process, but I don't notice that I'm in it now. I'm looking at, you know, it's just so, it's that hidden in plain sight place that we're up against.
Yes.
I thought that was just so much fun because we could spend all this time talking about structures and setting up structures and honoring them and what we see and then just forget that and there's a structure here too. That was good.
Yes. I just saw when you said that it seems that it's the nature of identification or unconsciousness that I can't see where I am right now.
Yes. That's really subtle, isn't it? That I could be looking from an identified / unconscious state at practice.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is why we really do need a sense of humor, and a as Anna and Jen were talking, you know, it really does need to be fun. If it's not fun, God, find something else to do with your life, because it's just going to get more and more miserable. But if it's fun, oh my gosh, that's that. I don't know who said it, but anyway, calling it the master game. That's it. When you really catch on to what's going on here, you realize there is nothing in life that holds a candle to awareness practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting. And I have some exciting announcements here.
Oh, very good.
The powerful There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat is a chance for participants to see directly how we are rejected and punished by the voices of self-hate and to discover how to let that go. This mm-hmm. foundational work is challenging, joyous, scary, and loving, and among the most important work you will ever do. Mm-hmm. Three retreats will be held this summer at the monastery, June 23rd through 30th, July 7th through 14th, and July 28th through August 4th.
So, plenty of options.
Plenty of opportunities, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can listen to two new interviews with you, Sherry, by going to sherryhuber.com and clicking on interviews.
Wow. All right.
Yes.
It's funny, to do these interviews and then never know what happens with them. You know, I just get a request from somebody for an interview, and then it's like, and we talk, and then they go off and do whatever. But I think Rebecca actually has started asking if we can have a copy of it too. And so then, not that I have the internal fortitude to listen to it, but other people can, and maybe let me know if that was a point that we want to underline somewhere else, or if it's maybe one that we just want to let go.
Great. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and a few reminders. If you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can press *6 and then 1 to make a show and get in the queue. And focus on one topic, please, and about 5 minutes is great.
Mm-hmm.
And Sherry, we're going to start with an email question today that we received from a listener.
Oh, gosh, we haven't done that for a long time, have we? All right.
No. Yes. Hello, Sherry. I'd first like to begin this email by extending my deepest gratitude to you for the work you do with your interviews, books, and the many other ways you affect lives positively. After having read dozens of books on spirituality, constantly searching for a philosophy that will, quote, fix me, unquote, I found your book, There Is Nothing Wrong With You. The title itself gave me a glimpse of the peace and unconditional love I was actually seeking. Mm-hmm. Since then, my life has never been the same and has been one that's filled with love, compassion, and acceptance. I also have a question that I would be delighted if you could answer. I know you host radio shows on Tuesdays, but because of the time difference of where I live, I'm afraid I won't be able to ask my questions through that. In the interview with the One You Feed podcast, you mentioned near the end that not only is 95% of the thinking we do unnecessary, but so is the other 5%. Unfortunately, the host ran out of time, and you never got to elaborate the point. I was just wondering if you could elaborate on what you meant by that. Isn't some thinking necessary in order to survive? I'm thinking as I write this letter. I'm thinking about what's my next move in a sport. I'm thinking about other vehicles on the road that I have to be careful of. Maybe I'm missing something, or your definition of thinking is different. Regardless, I'd love to hear your input. Thank you from a listener.
All right. Yes. That's a very fun question. Yes, I was the writer did get to what I would have said if I'd had a little more time, and that is that we need to pay close attention to what we call thinking. And my favorite example of that is when we look up at somebody and say, "I have just had the most amazing idea." And we're all trained to go, "Oh, what?" And what we're not trained to do is say, "And did you notice how that happened?" Because if we did ask that question, we would never again believe that I had the most marvelous idea. Because what actually happened is that something appeared in mind, and I was present enough to see it. So as we walk around and just sort of watch how things go on, we begin to realize that we are not generating the stuff that's in there. The stuff that's in there, and we are watching it or we are listening to it. But we are not the author of it. So I like to kid people in a workshop when somebody asks a question like this, and I will say to the person, "Okay, all right, say something brilliant." And, of course, it's one of those stunned silent moments because we can't do that. It just – it doesn't – I mean, if you were prepared come up with something ahead of time, but that would not be the experience that we would be talking about. What we would be talking about is that great idea, right, when something brilliant is there and we see it. So that's my encouragement, to begin to watch that what's actually happening. So I'm on the highway, and actually if I'm thinking about other drivers, I should pull over. And maybe let somebody else drive, because I'm a danger to myself and to everybody else. Because by the time we think about something, which involves a conversation in the head, so I look over at that car, and conditioned mind starts into whatever it has going about that car or that driver or how that's happening. And it's canned, okay? And that's the other thing that we'll notice by paying attention for just a very short period of time. Conditioned mind just repeats over and over and over and over and over. It doesn't have new ideas. Okay? That's why people compare it to a computer. You know, whatever has gone in, it can spit out. And it does have the ability to put two things together and then come up with a third, which is also not a very productive thing to let a conditioned reality loose on, okay? So by the time we think, in quotes, we think about those other cars, we have missed what's happening now because attention is on conditioned mind and whatever it has going on about those cars. Attention is not on awareness, where the reality that I'm in is actually unfolding. So if we want to be safe as we can possibly be, then we want, when we're driving, when we're doing our sports, whatever we're doing, we want to be as present as we can possibly be, and that's a product of having attention on awareness, not attention on conditioned mind. So one of my favorite sports things, I think it's Michael Jordan, who talked about when he would miss a shot, what he would say to himself is, usually I make that.
Yes.
And that's doing two things. One, he is not letting conditioned mind get a hold of that with or self-hate with, okay, now look what you've done. You've blown the whole thing. Why? I mean, you make that shot all the time. How could you miss that? He has missed how many plays in the length of time that attention is on that conversation in his head. And what makes a great athlete, and I bet most great athletes, if we could have enough of a conversation to get to this point, what makes them great is they don't do that. Their attention is on awareness, and it is present. Sometimes, I guess years ago, I don't know if they still do, but athletes would talk about being in the zone. And it's like a very deep meditative state where there's just nothing going on in the person's conscious awareness except this here now. And, of course, athletes love that experience, as anybody loves an experience of being completely present. So I'm going to stick with my original statement. I don't think conditioned mind and its thinking processes is necessary or helpful for any aspect of life. And usually I'll say to people, because a lot of, in quote, spiritual types will say, you've got to have an ego before you can let an ego go. Or, but conditioned mind is really helpful to take care of chores and do the thing. No, it's not. No, you don't, and no, it's not. And I'll say one more thing, Michael, before we let this one go. You know, supposedly, and this is a big supposedly because who knows, what the Buddha would say when people ask him questions is, believe nothing that I say. And the point of that is, find out for yourself. So when we look deeply at these subjects, I believe that people are going to come to the same conclusion, because what we're describing here is simply how it works.
Yes. And since we're all the same, it's going to work the same way for all of us.
Precisely. Which is a really good deal. Right? So
yes,
that's why
is.
We don't need to think about anything. Right? We can just practice
right.
being present, having our own experience, and we will get to what is so.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've heard you say many times, if I never had another thought for the rest of my life, I'd be more brilliant than I could ever imagine.
Yes. Yes.
So that puts it in the camp of not thinking.
Huh? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. But thinking is really... is simply a process ego uses to close the aperture of awareness.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
yes. And I just wanted to underline one other thing you said about the no self-hate, about missing the basketball shot. When I think of my life and the time savings of just dropping that whole loop, not to mention the feeling bad, but it just accelerates the learning and the presence and the growth.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, yes. That's why around here, people hear so much about no noodling, not figuring stuff out,
right.
not thinking about it, not worrying about it, not, I don't understand that. I don't get that. Okay, fine. Don't worry about it. Put it on a back burner somewhere.
Yes.
Someday, if you keep practicing, someday you'll get it. There's no hurry.
Yes.
We get it when we're ready to get it, but we're going to get it in this moment through a process of clarity, of insight, of it just dropping in, and we're present for it. We're never going to get it through figuring it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Well, thanks to that person.
Start. Yes. Yes. And shall we jump into our callers here?
Yes, please.
Okay, let's do that. First call.
Oh my gosh.
You are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hey,
and
Sherry, Tracy.
Hey, Tracy, it sounds like you're in a kind of a loud location, are you?
Yes, I'm just standing outside. I will walk back in my house.
No,
it
that's good.
It seems calm out
now,
here,
now
but...
You sound- Now you sound good. It might have just been getting there.
Yes, maybe. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, no, you sound good.
Oh, this is so perfect. What Anna was talking about with structure is what I'm calling about. And I'm like hoping that Anna or someone will teach or have a 6-week course on setting up structure. What I saw today, it's a repeating process over and over and over again, is there's a number of different things that need to be, you know, I have to show up for, attended to, taken care of. And this morning, one took longer, I was later, kind of moved everything, and then there wasn't time for this, and then it felt like everything was then too much, and then I get bamboozled into, like, I ate too much for lunch. And then to kind of have the illusion of, if there's that feeling of being really full, I can't take anything more in, and somehow that's going to protect me, which, of course, I know that it doesn't. It just makes me feel not so good and not be able to be aware of intuition dropping in of what to do next. And so I do the recording about what is so and what is true and get here and get present. But I'm so, and this is where I see this is a bamboozle too, I'm so tired of the process because I'm like wearing it out, but it's just like,
Well, Tracy, the problem that we get into is you're not tired of it when it begins. You're tired
right.
of it when it wears you out. You're wearing it out.
You just sit down on me, Sherry.
Sherry?
Sherry?
Wow, that's never happened
Sherry?
To me on this.
There you are.
I just got asked for a code. So that's never happened on this. It's very strange. Anyway, here I am. So, yes. So
you have the secret code. I know you do.
So put it in. Doggone
it. The secret code to unlock this path of suffering. So as you were saying, there's no, it's not suffering going into it. It's the suffering coming out of it.
That's right.
Like it doesn't feel
that's
like
right.
suffering going into it. Yes.
That's
exactly.
right. That's exactly right. And so that gives us an idea about where we want to catch on to it. When it starts.
Yes.
Not when we're out somewhere in the middle of it and it's got us.
Yes. Yes. So just to make sure I'm with you, so in this case, I can feel the overwhelm in the sense of, oh, my gosh, you know, like, where am I? I don't know where I am, and this was supposed to be taken care of, and it's not, and now I'm getting pulled over here, and, you know, I didn't take care of that commitment, and then I feel like a ping pong ball, and...
Yep, and you are.
And it's all,
as you noticed, it's all happening in unconsciousness. And the way we can tell is, I ate too much at lunch.
Well, it happens even before I ate too much at lunch. I think that's why I eat
that's
too
right.
much at lunch.
What,
is to stop
that's
the
right. But that's the proof that you're unconscious.
Yes.
So we don't have to wonder
okay.
why all that other stuff is happening, right? As soon as I eat too much, I can go, okay, got it. You know, I was
yes.
drugged, and now I'm really drugged.
Yes. I'm with you, so mm-hmm. I have to catch the unconsciousness mm-hmm. of the ping pong game match before, which...
That's right.
You know, which, you know...
okay.
And in the ping pong
okay.
match, I practice, you know, what's working, where I am, and so, yeah, I just...
Okay.
Extra
so we go back to what Anna was talking about, okay? So... What Anna is pointing at is learning to trust ourselves. That's what we have to do. So rather than being beaten up because I turned off the alarm and read for 10 more minutes, I redouble my commitment not to turn off the alarm and read for 10 more minutes. And what I'm practicing is getting to the point where I can trust myself. I make a commitment. I make a decision. I'm a person of my word, and so when I say I will, I will. When I say I won't, I won't. And that's what we're getting to, because the poor human being is in the hands of this person who can be, you know, you are getting very sleepy and they go unconscious, and the poor human being has no way to, in this case, protect herself.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is the argument for the schedule, the structure. And, of course, that's the thing that ego most doesn't want us to be able to do. Why? Because it's a wide-open door to freedom. So we have somebody else in the Sangha who would talk about for a long time. She's not talking about it anymore, so I can guess that she's made peace with it. But I need to leave the house at 9 a.m. Okay? So I got all my stuff ready, and then I hear, but, you know, if you would just finish those dishes, then you wouldn't have to face it when you get back home. So you'd stop and do the dishes, and then there's the reminder to put the whatever it is where the – and by the time I go out the door, or in this case she goes out the door, she's late. And then it's just a late, trying to catch up, stressed, miserable, okay? So what we're meant to do is suffer over the process we've been caught in. But our opportunity is to hear that voice that says, but if you just, then you, there's the bamboozle.
Yes.
That's the one we need to catch.
Yeah, I know that one very well, especially at nighttime. I can only put those dishes away and put the laundry away. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then I get to bed later than I want to get to bed. Yes, mm-hmm. And I think it speaks a little bit to. I feel like I need some support, something beyond my own mentor of just identifying, like, all the different, like, roles and chores and things to do, because I forget to put them in my schedule, and then, you know, the time to do the laundry and the time to put the dishes away and the time to do food prep and the time to shop and laundry and all those kinds of, and that's what I love about the monastery, the structure of that, and I just think it would be fabulous if there was a 6-week course.
Well, you can. Yeah, you can. Now, do we know each other well enough that I can be a little hard on you?
Yes, please be hard on me.
Okay, so this coming week we're starting a retreat at the monastery.
Yes, yes.
And my memory is we're doing this retreat because you wanted it.
I know.
And you know who's not going to be here for it?
I know. It's so sad. It's heartbreaking.
It is sad.
It really is.
And it's what we're talking about, right?
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. And so there's the little ate too much at lunch or behind on my appointments or not time to get the laundry done, but then there's the big, you know, so ego likes to jerk us from the large to the small to the large to the small to the large to the small so that it becomes increasingly clear to us that it has control over us and our lives in every aspect of our lives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It has control.
Yes. Because, and this is, I don't think I've ever said it this way. It's funny when I think about it. It chooses us, and we don't choose ourselves.
Yeah.
So it's focused on controlling you and your life around the clock. It never takes a vacation. There's never a rest in its focus on controlling you and controlling your life. You don't choose you in the same way.
Yes, it's true. It absolutely is true.
And you're not alone in this, Tracy. You're not alone in this, okay?
And it almost feels like it goes after, like there's a lot of things going really well, and there's been some things that have been really, really difficult. And it almost feels like it gets, I'm seeing it more when things are hard, but I'm not seeing it as clearly when things are going well. Like I,
that's
and
right.
I just
there
watch
is
the
nothing.
Sabotage.
There is nothing to bring on about a self-hate like happiness.
Yeah.
Because
oh, it's awful.
When we, yes,
awful.
Yes, it is awful. When when we're happy, we tend to. It's because we're here.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, what is conditioning going to do with that? Now, on some level, I think most of us have been bamboozled into believing that that's what that system wants. That's not what it wants, right? So, if you're happy, then it's going to come at you with everything it's got. Because
yeah.
It's in danger.
Well, it is. It really is. And it's...
Mm-hmm.
Keep
this in mind, Tracy. We just had one spot at the retreat open up. No
problem. You did? Okay, good. I'm going to look at the place right after. I have a commitment in about 20 minutes, and I'm going to look up the place after. Okay, good.
Got it?
On Monday? Monday?
Starts on Monday, and we will set up the structure while you're here.
Okay. Okay, good. All right. Oh, my God, am I
all right.
If I can do it, if I can get a flight. Okay. What I need so bad.
But it's exciting, isn't it? Life is so exciting.
It's so exciting, and I think just the level of the tenacity of egocentric conversation self-hate is so, I mean, humbling. I mean, humbling in the sense of, like, we're all up against it, and it's, like, people wouldn't see it if they looked at me and looked at my life. My life is great, but the level of that it is astounding.
Yes, astounding. It is.
So astounding.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right,
we'll
I'll be in touch.
We're going to keep working on it.
Okay, good, thanks.
Okay,
bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Tracy. Sherry, I loved how you brought it in as a universal process, that we all face it in the same way.
Yes, absolutely.
And so we all need to work together and learn and stick together and hold hands and learn again and recommit. And show up?
Yes. And not listen to any voices that say there's something wrong with you because this is going on. No, there isn't. That's like there's something wrong with you because you keep eating food. There's something wrong with you that you need to keep breathing minute by minute by minute. You know, why do you have to drink water all the time? Why do you keep needing to sleep? Hey, these are all human conditions, right? And what we're up against with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is right along with those. It's less pleasant than all of those for most of us, but it's just as pervasive. It's just exactly as much a part of being human.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sherry, we are going to hear from our coaching program, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
How we do anything is how we do everything, which is very good news because seeing through one conditioned process reveals it everywhere. Zen awareness coaching uses tried and true practices like recording and listening, process mapping, and weekly practice commitments to take the mystery out of ego's bamboozles. If you have ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat and are tired of getting caught in the same old suffering processes, Zen Awareness Coaching is for you. To request a coach, email zenawarenesscoach@livingcompassion.org. That's Zen Awareness Coach, all one word, @livingcompassion.org. Getting a coach will support you in making the anything and everything of your life exactly what the heart desires.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sharon and Michael. It's Jan in the Bay Area.
Hey.
Hey.
Hi, Jan.
I am so excited to be on. This show, I mean, what Anna started us out with was amazing. I feel so inspired. And then all the other conversations. I called because I'm not well, and I can't go to.
I was
going to
say you sound like not like Jan.
Yeah, sort of like a nose pin on the nose. Anyway,
yeah, exactly.
I
don't sound quite like yourself.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. So you're not going to be at center?
No, I'm not. But I'm so thrilled to be talking to you right now because I've just gotten to see. I don't know. I've gotten to see a process. It's not new, but I got to see it in a new way. And part of it was being at center a week ago last Sunday, and the guidance I got. I just finished a bike tour down in Southern California, and I had been, I've done these things many times, but I keep getting tortured in the preparation for it, during it, and all kinds of things. So,
anything
the guidance
to take
I got,
the fun out of it? Would that kind
yes.
of fit?
Yeah, uh-huh. absolutely. And so, but the guidance, what it was is I got clarity in the guidance I received at center, and it basically was, yes, I want to complete the ride, and I want to have fun, both things. And
uh-huh.
it was so great because I had that I just kept the entire trip just refocusing, and it was so fun. It was really fun, and I got to see what Anna mentioned about the trustworthiness of where, for me, in the process that falls apart when I leave myself. If say I'm on this bike ride, and when I leave myself, and what
uh-huh.
happens,
uh-huh.
and it was so. I mean, it wasn't pleasant, of course, but I had to see it really clearly. I mean, I got to see it really
yes.
clearly, and it was. I had a reflective listening buddy call last night, and it just sort of crystallized everything. But I got to see it all as a game, that conditioning kept putting things in front of me. Oh, too many miles. Oh, you're really sore. Or the weather, or the wind, or the... It doesn't matter. And the
uh-huh.
game is that I got to see that's the particulars that I always thought, well, this is, of course, that's real. We've got a headwind. It's not even... That's not the point.
Yes, it's true. That's not the point. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, life just has this stuff. So the game, what I've gotten to see is the game in it is identifying when those things appear, when conditioning presents them. It was sort of like
yeah.
what you were talking to Tracy about, at the beginning. What happens at the beginning? And I got to see that more clearly. I know I'm going to get bamboozled. But it was just so wonderful. I just am
well,
feeling so grateful.
It's really, yeah, it's really perfect, Jan, because if we look at it this way, so there she is, okay, this person we call Jan, and she's on this bike ride. And then you, embodiment of conscious compassionate awareness, leave her. Right, we call that going unconscious, right? Leave
yep.
her, and she's completely vulnerable to those hateful voices. And so we can just see her. Even in Southern California, there are hills. There she goes, uphill against the headwind. And her coach, what's talking to her is this negative voice going on about everything that's wrong. And she's not having fun. And we can hardly blame her. We're meant
yep.
to blame her, but we really shouldn't, because she's been abandoned with this hateful voice pointing out everything. She's sore, and it's too hard, and the wind, and I'm miserable. You know, it turns us into kind of an exhausted, cranky 5-year-old, right? With no resources, right? Just miserable. But then back comes conscious compassionate awareness, and suddenly, well, yeah, all those things are true, but they're not a problem.
Yeah.
Even being sore, even being tired, that's not a problem. I'm on this giant bike ride. Of course I'm going to get sore and tired.
I know, like what else is going to happen?
Yes. And I'm going to have fun and I'm going to feel good and there's camaraderie and at the end of the day there's the, wow, look what we did and all of that.
I know. I guess I just saw it as a microcosm of life. And because I was doing it as a retreat, I mean, it was, and when you said, you know, the voices come in, all that, but right behind it, very soon, when it would happen, on almost every case, the mentor was there going, I know, it's really hard, and you're really sore, whatever it was going on, and I'm here, and let's go get something to eat, or whatever it was.
Yes.
It was so, it was wonderful. Yes. It wasn't easy again. It was hard, but it was wonderful. It's like life.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, like life. And, you know, Jen, again, if it takes me back to being a little kid, where the things that we did for play for an adult, right, would just be grisly, right? And yet, when we were young, and for a lot of people, for you obviously, and the people you hang out with, doing really hard physical things is still fun.
Well, it can be. I mean, it is.
Yes.
When it's not taken over. And I
That's
got
right.
to see, when I saw it as a game, I mean, I've looked at the game, you know, metaphor before, but this time, I guess it was in the reflective listening buddy call, just seeing if I look for the particulars. It's like in Clue, you know, that game. You know, you're looking at what are the clues, and well, that looks really obvious. Well, it wasn't obvious, but it is now. And, so helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, it
so
is.
So thank you.
And thank you. The thing that I really appreciate about that is, because, you know, I've known you for a few, let's say, decades at this point.
Yeah.
And so, we reach a stage in life where we're meant not to be doing hard things anymore. What's idealized is never being challenged, never having a sore muscle, never having anything the way we don't want it to be, because the story is, you know, well, I've put up with so much. I've been through so much. Now is my time to rest. Oh, dear.
Yeah, and that
was a
that
recipe
came, that,
for suffering.
Yeah, and that came, that's what I mentioned at center before the trip is when I heard the word quit, you know, you really should quit. You're too old, whatever it was, you should quit. And that's what caught my attention.
Mm-hmm.
Because it isn't black and white. It's, you know, this can be modified.
Right.
Right.
I don't have to keep pace with Lance Armstrong.
That's right.
I guess
anyway,
he's still around,
I just wanted to share, I mean, thanking Anna for the idea of that model of your everyday life and seeing how I can apply it, whether it's another bike tour or just being home,
whatever.
It is.
Yeah, whatever it is, to have that same attitude of mind.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
that's good.
Thank you,
Jan.
All.
Take care of yourself. Bye-bye. Be well. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jan. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Rochelle from Charlotte.
Hello.
Hi. This has been a wonderful show. I mean, I really enjoyed Anna and Jen's conversation earlier. And I also appreciate your recording, your interview. Recently I was traveling and driving with my niece, and we listened to your interview together, and I think she really appreciated that, particularly not indulging in any conversation in your head that you would not have with a four-year-old that you love. Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, so at her age, she really gets that.
She really gets
it. Right?
She really gets
it. Yeah, and she's what most people would still think of as a youngster, but she's really clear. That's a good rule of thumb.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so there has been some sticky content that I've been dealing with that actually brought me to practice, and that has that I've practiced around, recorded around, and had laid to rest. But it has come up again, particularly with the retreat. And I've been trying to say, okay, it's just the retreat or what have you. But something came up with it also with my niece. And I've been practicing around it, and I need guidance. So this is the thing. Throughout my life, I have been told, and this is not something that conditioning is telling me, this is other people who have telling me.
Other people's conditioning.
Other people's conditioning. But yeah. this is you're intimidating,
too much.
Yeah, too much, difficult to approach. My brother says I intimidate men and things like that, and even professionally, the last large group I left was because, you know, one of the newer people was like, well, you're difficult to approach. And there are times,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah, not I'm afraid it should deal with my fear, but you are difficult to approach. If you were the right person, I wouldn't be afraid of you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, particularly in the professional thing, it's like, it doesn't matter what you feel. This is professional. We're talking about business. We're talking about taking care of people. And so you've got to get over your fear and talk to me about what's going on type of thing. And I know, you know, and I know when I'm identified and conditioning, the bad wolf is who's doing it. And I know, and I have that under control. In fact, I spend a lot of energy keeping that not in my practice and that type of thing. And so,
put that bad wolf in a closet somewhere and
exactly.
lock the door.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And what is painful to me is that this happens even sometimes when I'm being nice, that I'm being me and I'm just engaging and being my authentic self. And then somebody says, oh, well, you're intimidating or, you know, you're scary or you're, you know,
too intense. Rochelle, you're too intense.
Exactly. And I know I have a lot of energy. I know I have a lot of energy, and a lot of people don't. And I'm also not one of those, I'm not a person who runs around with a lot of fear. I have fear of things, but they're fears of things that can't be controlled, but it's not something in my everyday experience. My fears are things that no one has control over, you know.
Losing loved ones.
So I practiced around this, and it was one of the reasons that drove me to practice, because I had been doing the best job I could, and regardless, there are people saying that they thought that I was intimidating, and people who were very anxious, and people who, some, I suspect, you know, are just afraid of black people, people of color, and so you get an enthusiastic black woman, and, you know, they're intimidating.
You're uppity. Isn't that, yeah. Uh-huh.
How dare me have an opinion different from yours and to voice it and be articulate about it, and all of a sudden I'm intimidating when it's just like, no, we're in a meeting. We're supposed to be hashing this out type of thing. And you're afraid, and anytime I approach you with ideas or something, then you're intimidated and afraid, and I can't function in that, and I can't cure that type of thing. And
Go ahead.
So, you know, and I had a lot of depression because I'm trying to fit in and trying to be productive, and I'm dealing with this. So what happened, and what has happened is that my niece, who I love dearly and who is energetic and articulate, smart, beautiful, you know, not afraid to, you know, voice her mind and that type of thing, one of her teachers or one of her counselors told her that she was intimidating to teachers and to other students. And when my niece told me this, she was like, you know, she's dealing with her bad wolf. And said, well, I guess I can be intimidating and things. And you can see, I can hear her and see her trying how not to make other people afraid of her. And, oh, mm-hmm. my gosh, now you're talking about something that really riled me up. Because I was like, baby, you are fine, you know. You cannot go through the world trying to make it easier for other people who are intimidated or afraid of you just because of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked, I said, were you being aggressive? Were you being... She's like, no, I was just asking a question in class. I wasn't trying to be scary or frightful, and I was, you know. And so this is coming up for her at 15
mm-hmm.
years old. And
how old is she now?
She's 15 years old.
15, yeah.
Yeah, 15 years old. And she, you know, this is a tough time to be black and female, 15 years old in Trump's America. And
yeah.
she is at a school where there are a lot of conservative people, and she, you know, there are people that push her buttons. And she knows about all the politics in the world and every hard thing, and so she is struggling. And then
mm-hmm.
for an adult, a teacher, to say that you're intimidating to another adult when you're 15 years old just bothers me. And the first thing I told her was, baby, there are going to be people who are scared of you just because you're just present in the room and breathing, and you're smart and you're alert, and that is not what they expect from you,
mm-hmm.
and that type of thing.
Well, not only is it not what they expect from you, it's not what they want from you.
It's not what they want from you.
Yeah.
And you cannot live a small life trying to make the world comfortable with you, who you are.
Yeah.
Be you.
So, and, you know, the thing, of course, that we see in practice is that whatever somebody's got going on is, let's see, how do I say this? I mean, everybody's getting put down for something. You know, so for some, I mean, I bet, let's just go with the girls. The boys are, you know, doing what the boys are doing. But just with the girls at that school, every single one of them is facing some demon.
Exactly.
In the sense that they're not pretty enough, they're not smart enough, the right boy isn't interested in them, whatever it is, they're overweight, and that would be my wish for your niece. Not that, yes, obviously, and not just in this country right now, but in this country for all the time, and around the world for all the time, people are afraid of and given to hate what is different from them. And it kind of doesn't matter what the different is. It's just, if it's different from me, I'm uncomfortable, I'm scared, and I'm going to project stuff all over that. So my wish for your niece is that she could get that everybody's got something coming at them. There's a reason. Everybody is hearing some reason that they're not okay as they are. We hear it outside of us until we internalize it, right? And then we spend the rest of our lives hearing it inside. So if she could get that if what the negative that she is getting is that she's too smart, she's too confident, she's too assertive, okay. You know, those are rejections that are going to serve her well throughout her life.
Yeah.
Yeah, because throughout her life, she's going to want to be just as smart as she can be, as successful as she can be, as clear, as aware, as confident as she can possibly be. So she's in training now, and as you say, there are going to be a ton of people who don't like that. But it wouldn't matter how she is, they wouldn't like that either. So she might as well have all of these traits that are going to serve her.
Thank you. Thank you. Because that's why I needed guidance to make sure I was tracking this right. Because, you know,
absolutely.
Because I was like, you know, baby, you know, there's always going to be something.
There's always going to be somebody. There's always going to be something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And she has her own wolf that, you know, is on her about other things. Oh, sure.
You know,
of course.
And I said, you know what? When somebody says that to you, you got to check yourself and say, okay, was I over the top? Was I aggressive? Was I inappropriate? But if you really think, no, I was really just being, you know, participating in class, and I was being myself and what have you, and I wasn't trying to intimidate or be mean to somebody, then you got to look at that and say, okay, that may be their issue, you know. I'm not going to give that
and
over
you
to
know,
my wolf.
Rochelle, you can show her it's documented. Okay, what she's up against is documented. That it is different. People of color in classes are treated differently by teachers. They are, and so you know that again.
She's had some horrific experiences. I mean, there.
Yeah.
Just you know.
Yeah.
She's had some teachers that were just inappropriate and. You know.
Oh yeah.
You
really.
Know,
really
talented, and every day the teacher said, do you belong in this class? You know, I mean, I was just like, really? You know, type of thing. So she, and I wish I could protect her against this, and I can't.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, yes.
You know,
oh,
and,
we do. Just
and to be
wrap
honest,
them up and, yeah.
Exactly. And to be honest, you know, unlike my mom or her mom, they're different people and have different personalities and things like that. She's kind of like me. And so I kind of...
There are worse things, Rochelle.
Well, I know, but it's also, you know, you're going to be a light and a rod for people who want to try you and stuff. And so, you know, and when we were driving... the other weekend, as I put on your interview about, you know, just who do you feed to help with that. And she struggled.
Well, and if I may, one other thing that maybe that you two gals can talk about, with a teacher, there's not much that can be done. There really isn't because, you know, they have the authority and they've got whatever they've got going and they're going to do what they do and a kid just doesn't have a chance. But with another student, with a peer, it would be possible to say, oh, I'm sorry, I certainly don't mean to be that way. How could it be different for you? And that could be not denying herself at all, not anything, but just to be aware of what people have going and to give them a chance to articulate it.
Yeah.
Which I think would be a fascinating thing to do.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you a little story that goes with that for me. When my daughter was six, I was talking to somebody about the way she spoke. And I said, you know, she has this kind of superior, slightly sarcastic way of talking that is just bizarre. On a six-year-old. And the person looked at me and said, where do you think she hears that? and I said, uh-huh, okay, I got it. Yeah, and so sometimes there really are ways that we are that we don't know we are that we could choose to apply a little different spin on if we choose to, depending on the circumstances.
Yeah.
So if she knows that in most rooms she's going to be the smartest person there, then that's something that a person doesn't need to prove.
Yeah.
And so to learn to kind of back up from that without any self-hate toward her or taking any of it personally, but just to realize if people feel threatened, I can backpedal. I can do whatever it might take for a few minutes to see if there's a place that we can get to where we can all be comfortable.
Yeah. And I think she could do that.
All
we
right.
Could, we could come
yeah.
about that. Cause that
yeah.
That's a good
all
point.
All right. Well,
and you know.
Have her listen to this one, okay? And, to this conversation and see if she sparks to it.
This is a good thing. I greatly appreciate it. This was so helpful.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm
glad.
had to touch base and see if I was tracking or what have you, because about this.
Yeah,
and, yeah, those,
it's
that's,
big.
That's it's big, and it's you know, survival.
Yes.
You know, type of thing, and so very good, very good.
All
I
right.
greatly appreciate it. Thank you, y'all.
Oh,
happy.
I appreciate it. Thanks for talking about it. It's yeah, it's a big subject, and it's big for all of us. It, again, you know, it's one of those places where we realize we could focus on the differences, or we could focus on how we're all the same, which I think we're it really is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, exactly. And you know, she's not interested in intimidating or making people afraid of her and stuff. She's gregarious. I mean, she wants
yeah.
to make friends and talk and things like that. It gets particularly disappointing when a teacher tells her she's...
Oh, it's very sad.
And,
yeah.
You know, I worry because I always think when people are afraid of you, they can be particularly dangerous to you in this situation. And so, you
oh,
know,
yeah.
it always makes me nervous when somebody's afraid of you when it's just like, okay, you're dangerous to me because I'm not doing
mm-hmm.
anything to be afraid of. But that's
mm-hmm.
a big red flag that you're dangerous. And so it bothers me with the adults in the situation. But, you know.
Yeah, yeah, it's scary. It is. Yep. People in power. Yeah. All right. Well, take care of yourselves.
Thank
and,
you very much. I greatly
let's
appreciate
it. Be in touch.
It.
Okay.
I will stay in touch. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye, Rochelle.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rochelle. And that was a fascinating conversation, Sherry. Just exploring all the angles of it. And I appreciated how we bring intelligence to the whole situation. And awareness of what's going on with me and the situation is just genius.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. Again, it's big. It's all
it's big.
Very big. And the theme of this program has been how much we are all in this together. And, oh, my gosh, if we can never forget that. Those of us who know that, never to forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank
you, Sherry.
Thank you, sir.
It's wonderful.
I so appreciate it. All right. Talk to you soon. Okay.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.